Okay, so by now, surely you found Matthew chapter 6. Let's take a look briefly here. We could spend a lot of time, but in Matthew chapter 6, he's been talking about alms and so on and so forth, and the reward and so forth. Beginning at verse 5, he says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. So therefore you should not pray publicly." Right? Okay, that's a great flying leap of exegesis, okay? That is not what he's saying. He's talking about their motivation. It's the why they prayed, not how they prayed, that's the problem. They prayed mainly so that people would notice. They weren't really praying to God. They were praying for people, okay? And their motive was what they could get from people, okay? So there's a classic example of praying to consume it upon your lust, okay? It's your own personal ambitions and desires instead of, what's God about in this situation? Okay. Then he says, so don't be like the hypocrites. This is not a play. This is not for show. He says, they've got the reward. They got what they're after. They're done. But you, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition. Now, we're told in another passage very clearly we should not, he says, men ought always to pray, this is from Luke, and ought always to pray and not to faint or give up. So, obviously, just praying about something once is not necessarily enough. Is that a fair, can we agree on that? Okay. That repeating, just like the first thing we looked at, doesn't mean it's wrong to pray publicly, but praying about something more than once is not wrong either. That's not what he means by a vain repetition. There is repetition and then there is vain repetition. And what does the word vain mean? It means pointless. Okay? It's not doing anything. It's just doing it over and over again. As I read some of these prayer emails and so forth that come my way and I listen to a lot of believers talk, there's some underlying, I guess you'd call it theology, that kind of comes through. And one is that if, you know, it's kind of like prayer is a matter of sort of outvoting God. I'm putting it kind of James-like there, a little bit extreme. But you know what I'm saying? If we can get enough people praying about this, enough people asking the same thing, then God will do something. In other words, we're getting up a petition. It's like, you know, we're trying to move Congress here. They don't want to do this, but we're going to make them do it. Because there's so many voters out here that want it done. And so we gotta get God on the ball. You know, again, I'm putting this in kind of extreme terms, but do you get, you know, we would never say that out loud, but we are saying it by the these other things we do and say. In other words, there's this assumption that somehow we gotta outvote God. Or we got to, you know, some people's idea of praying and fasting is, it's kind of like a spiritual temper tantrum, if you will. Some of you know about temper tantrums, don't you? What's the objective of a temper tantrum? You got it. I want what I want, and I will hurt myself till you do it. Because you don't want to do it, but I want you to do it, and I'm going to make you want to do it. Now, again, that's kind of extreme. In other words, it's a kind of trying to manipulate God. Is prayer about manipulating God? You know, I really like it. It wasn't original with Theodore Epp, but he quoted it a lot. How many of you know who Theodore Epp? Boy, I'm dating myself here a little. Theodore Epp was the founder of Back to the Bible broadcast. Okay. I grew up hearing Theodore Epp, and what a blessing. You know, great man of God was. He was followed by Woodrow Kroll, and is Woodrow Kroll still with him? At any rate. But Dr. Epp used to quote, actually it's from a man by the name of Cameron Thompson, not so well known, but he said something very important. He said, prayer is not overcoming God's unwillingness, but laying hold of his willingness. All right? Now, let's take a look at what happens here. He says, so, verse 8, he says, be not therefore like unto them. The pagans are in the God-manipulating business. That's how paganism works. You manipulate the gods. They don't like you. They really don't want to be bothered with you. So you've got to somehow get the gods to make them listen and cajole them into doing what you want done. That's how paganism, that's the whole underlying concept, paganism. Unfortunately, we carry a lot of that into Christianity without even knowing it. Okay? And that's why the Lord took this time. You know, he's talking to a bunch of Jews. We're not pagans. You know? Okay? And he says, so, don't be like them. He says, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of. When? Before you ask. So why ask? Now here we get into the theological problem in prayer. You ever run into this one? You know, if God, known unto God are all his works from the beginning to the end. True? Absolutely true. The Bible says so. Okay? So, what difference does it make if I pray? He knows what he's going to do. He's going to do what he's going to do. And we sort of get into kind of a Muslim sort of mode. You know, it is written. It's going to happen anyway, and it doesn't really matter what you do. We can call it Calvinism, we can call it whatever, but sometimes does that thinking not sort of creep into the back of our minds, even though we might not come out and say it, we would never put that on our doctrinal statement, but it's kind of like, yep, you know, we don't need to inform God. So why should we go through this process at all? Why even bother? Well, that's what I want us to begin to see, because the process of prayer is part of what happens. And does it make a difference? Yes. You have not. Why? Because you ask not. So does it make a difference? Yes. Okay. How does that work in eternity? I don't know. I don't live in eternity. I live here. Okay. And so we're going to look at it from our perspective, where we live. Okay, we don't live out there in that theological stratosphere. We're going to look at the reality that we deal with and what God's, you know, it's just like saying, thinking that way is a little bit like saying, well, you know, God knows when I'm going to die, so it doesn't matter if I eat or not. How many of you do that? God knows when I'm going to die, so it doesn't matter whether I look before I cross the street. You do that? I see a young lady says, no. Good answer, okay? Why? Because it makes a difference. It's a funny thing. People die when they don't, you know, when they don't look when they're crossing the street. It's a real challenge in Australia when the cars are coming from the other way. Then, you know, you found out, or Ireland is the same, I think. Yeah, so that's how we've nearly lost several missionaries, not while they're driving, but when they're walking, and for that very reason. Okay, so it does make a difference. This is real life, folks. So it makes a difference. So, but it's not as though we've got to inform God or that we've got to manipulate God. And so he says, okay, all that being said, he says, verse 9, after this manner, notice the next word, what? After this manner, what's the next word? Therefore. Okay? And the old rule of studying the scripture, you always ask what the therefore is. Therefore. It's there because of what he's already been saying. So if you're not going to do it this way, how do you do it? Okay? That's what he goes on to say. Now, we don't have time for an exposition of the model prayer here, but let's just look at a couple of quick things here. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. So make sure that you know who you're talking to. Okay? Get it addressed right. All right? He says, hallowed be thy name. It starts with worship. It starts with adoration of who God is. It's rooted in the character of God. We don't have a God that needs to be manipulated or can be manipulated. We don't have a God who is trying to trick his children. We don't have a God who really couldn't care less. We have a holy God who always does what's right. But he bids us, asks us, invites us, yes, even commands us to get involved in what he is about. And that's what begins to happen here. Notice he says, thy kingdom come. We're going to look at some of this a little more closely in the seminar, Lord willing, but it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, these two verses point up something that's really important, and that is there's a big difference between heaven and earth. Okay? He has emphasized these two realms that are in contrast to each other. Okay? And what are those two realms? They're heaven and earth. Now, thy will be done in earth as it is. How is God's will done in heaven? Perfectly. Are there any exceptions? Do you have to wait a while for God's will to be done in heaven? Okay? So it's completely done all the time, every time. Is that the way it works on earth? No. Okay, and that is, well, that's kind of obvious, but it's a basic thing that sometimes we have trouble remembering. We kind of expect it to be done on earth the same way it is in heaven, but it's getting the heaven and earth together that's the problem here, because what alienated heaven and earth? Sin. Okay, so they're two different worlds. Okay, but what does prayer do? It connects those two different worlds. And so the whole purpose of prayer is moving God's will to planet Earth. See, the central thing here is the will of God. Okay? Now, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then he goes on and speaks of the particular needs. Give us this day our daily bread, and so on and so forth. Spend a lot of time here, but we need to move on. Okay. So, the point here is that this matter of the will of God is right at the core of what prayer is about. If we put that at the center, and we'll look at this a little more in the seminar, we put that at the center, then you begin to hone in on how to put all the pieces together.